Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand. Setting fire, never outclassed.
Yeah, everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Trump here on the Vegas Bad Boys Podcasting. Which Trump are you? The
I'm the one without the lawsuits.
Yeah. Or the good suits, because man, you ain't got the Trump clothing, that's for sure.
You know what? You know how long it takes to switch into that shit for you?
Oh.
Okay. Yes, I do. And you've gotten so lazy about it that you just hit a little fucking button that just brings up a screen so you just do the voice. So, yeah, I do.
God damn it. All right, fine. Well, you'll get the suit.
Way to break the fourth wall.
Oh my god, fucking guy over here breaking the fourth wall thinks this is a fucking Deadpool movie.
No, Deadpool's entertaining. We're just tedious.
Wow.
Come on. If we had Ryan Reynolds, I mean, we'd be scoring big points here.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Would you want Ryan Reynolds or Freddie Prinze Jr.?
I'd like Freddie Prinze Sr., to be honest, at this point. I think he would be fabulous.
And we're already off the rails.
So. Yeah, of course. I think that was a pretty much a record.
Yeah, I know. I guess.
Usually.
Any of you have a great time tonight?
Usually it involves Rob going on some 25-minute rant about God knows what, and then we, completely spiral out of control.
Well, someone said rails.
Yes! Even better.
WWE is so goddamn good. I can't.
Hell yeah.
All right, so...
This is a wrestling, folks. Well, for everyone watching on Instagram, this is a wrestling show.
Lies.
This is wrestling? Oh, shit.
Fuck. Damn it. I'm on the wrong show.
Okay.
God damn.
I thought this was a show about some black guy's feet.
Now that shit was entertaining.
Let's
get to this thing. I don't know. This Dynamite thing, is this what happened this week?
Yeah. Yes. It MJF definitely happened.
Versus Rush.
Oh, geez.
Kevin really? Knight versus Speedball by Ali. Will Ospreay, Mark Davis. Alex Windsor. I completely blanked out of who the hell she fought.
Right. Okay.
Great.
And so on and so forth. Okay. So,
dumbass.
Oh, yes.
All right. So get to. Was it. Okay.
Okay. So since Rob is just wanting to kind of step around the card, I think that I was thoroughly entertained on Dynamite. Obviously, the main event being MJF and Roosh. And then also Kevin Knight and Speedball. They went out there. Both of those matches were extremely hard hitting. And I think that, we're starting to see that obviously Kevin Knight. Hang on. Kevin Knight, who is incidentally the 17th member of the Don Callis family. I don't think that's even a work. I think he actually is the 17th member. Did anybody happen to notice that Kevin Knight was introduced as a member of the Don Callis family, but Don did lose something when he introduced Kevin Knight, his teeth. Did anybody see this? Okay, so evidently I'm all alone in that. Don Callis was so energetic and so overjoyed that Kevin Knight was being introduced into the Don Callis family that when he said Kevin Knight, his false teeth fell out of his mouth and onto the mat. It was pretty fucking hilarious.
I gotta watch this again.
Yeah. It was pretty good. But you know, they put on a very solid match. They've wrestled each other in Impact. They've wrestled each other in New Japan. Now they've wrestled each other in AEW. Incidentally, Kevin Knight, with the win that he got on Wednesday, that was the first time that he had ever beaten Speedball. So, obviously, you know, Speedball had taken the first three matches. So now we're starting to even the score a bit, but, yeah, make no mistake about it. Let's be totally real. Alex Windsor versus Mercedes Moné. And I said she was going to be in the tournament somehow, some way, and sure as shit, she ends up being the wild card as Willow Nightingale obviously was removed from the tournament. And now Mercedes can go back to Wembley and defeat Tekla to win that women's world championship. The same.
I'm so glad they replaced Willow with Mercedes. I can't tell you how over fucking joyed I am.
Matt, that is a great point. I know that you can't stand Willow. Are you on like the same level with Mercedes, or was this like an upgrade or a downgrade for you? I'm genuinely curious.
No, absolutely same tier, same there. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if it was two girls in a cup, I would take the cup.
Hey, I believe someone somewhere said Two Girls, One Cup was art. So
it was, and it was better than either of those two.
So. Oh, jeez. Wow. Yeah, man. Dynamite was selling.
Willow, that would have to be a very big cup, no?
No. God.
Bucket. Two girls in a bucket.
Two girls in a bucket. We did see the character progression with Leo Rush as the Blackheart persona is starting to overtake him more and more each week. So obviously Mark Briscoe.
Why does it have to be black?
I don't know. You got to ask him.
Rob?
Well, don't drag me into this. Don't drag me into this. It's not February. I don't get a pass.
Oh my God.
All right.
Solid stuff. All across the board there. And then
anything on this thing?
yeah, there was a Collision was a pretty good watch. It was obviously Collision. The most notable thing that came out of this entire show, though,
Shane Taylor night. The whole thing was about
it was Shane Taylor Promotions night. And you know, Shane was on the show, had a squash match. And then Shane Taylor Promotions in there in a trios match against the Death Riders. So, but, the real news and the surprise out of this night was that the CMLL World Women's Champion Persephone, actually lost in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament to Hazuki, and Hazuki and Mercedes will actually go at it in the semifinals. So that should be a pretty solid match considering they have worked before and it was extremely well received. So both women obviously have some time has passed since they wrestled each other. So it's going to be interesting to see the differences in those two matches. But yeah, solid episode of Collision, definitely entertaining. And obviously the conglomeration retained those World Trios titles in the main event. LFI at this point, jobbers to the stars. Rouge taking two L's this week.
Yeah. Is Suzuki still $5 on Tuesdays at BJ's?
I was going to say the last time I heard of a Suzuki, Hazuki, not Suzuki. I was thinking about the dirt bikes.
It's a yummy cookie with ice cream on top. I'll tell you.
I'm sure it is. Okay. Oh, I'm sure it is.
So what number is that on the menu over in Japan? Is that number 21 or number 22?
It's number 2, girls with a cup.
Bucket, remember?
Bucket, that's right. Right. Yeah.
They call it the Long Island Special.
Right. All right, so Briscoe cuts his promo on MJF, and MJF responds, Rob, how would MJF have said this if it was a living thing?
I'm literally never going to wrestle you again. I'm the most powerful voice in AEW. What I say goes. Cute promo, though.
Does this even really matter? I mean...
Realistically, I could see Mark Briscoe being the one to end up costing MJF the title. AEW added a pay-per-view in July, literally the month right before All In. The name of the show is Redemption. It's taking place in Winnipeg, in Canada. So obviously, a lot of people are assuming that it's going to be MJF versus Kenny Omega at that show. And a lot of people are assuming, again, that it's going to be Ospreay winning the Owen and facing Omega at All In. So you could have possibly Mark Briscoe show up right as MJF is going to use the Dynamite Diamond Ring or something of that nature to steal that match against Omega and stop him from using the ring or stop the interference. And thus leading to Omega taking that title from MJF, only to drop it a month later to Ospreay.
Hey, so. Speaking of this guy says he was never a WWE guy. Rob, can you read this as Will Ospreay and throw in as many bruvs as you would like?
Hey, bruv, I just never was a WWE guy. I respect it, and I respect what the guys they're doing. But schedule is crazy, and I commend them all for doing it. I just don't like it. I don't like the show. I don't like the style of wrestling. I don't like the presentation, bro. The moment the bell rings, bro, I think we're better than all of them. Honestly, on my worst day, I think I'm better than a lot of the guys in the ring. In-ring, promo-wise, you guys have a bunch of guys, punks. Stick Reigns is sick. There's still things that I need to catch up on, but in ring, bruv, I generally don't think there's anyone from that side that matches any of our guys, bruv.
All right, so bruv. Here's the thing. You know, you talk about WWE all the time, right? Of, this competition, how, WWE fans, wah, 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 blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But it's shit like this you never see them do, right? And there's a reason. Because that's not something that's in that vocabulary, right? WWE is on a level of, hey, you know what? You're going to pay $5,000 for a ticket. You're going to pay fucking $60 for a t-shirt. You're going to fucking subscribe to our fan extravaganza circle.
WWE.
Right. But that's what they're about. It's about selling the fucking product and selling the money and the merchandise. And it is a globally understood product, right? Here you have someone who, if his contract's up and he goes there and they give him a shitload of money, okay? Now he's got to go and be the shill for the company, right? and be the face and do this shit. And it's like, so what exactly are you accomplishing by putting this over to a small base of internet fans who already fucking suck your dick, right?
I legitimately don't think that Ospreay will go to WWE. And the reasoning for that is very simple. So Tony Khan straight up paid for Ospreay's neck surgery, which he's stated Ospreay has stated that that surgery cost more than his house. So I don't think that he will step across, you know, and go to the other side, but stranger things have happened. No one would have thought Cody would have been the first one to leave AEW, yet he was. Right. So, I mean, anything can happen, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of just a gut feeling based on
look at it like this though. I watched a match during my lunch break, and it was Ospreay versus Ricochet 2016 Japan.
Yes.
Insane high flying match.
Yep.
Ospreay is nowhere near that level now.
No.
And that's a problem because you paid for that guy and now you're not getting him. Ospreay is indebted to Tony Khan in a monstrous way. And also a little guy named Paul Levesque, little Triple H, said, I don't even think Ospreay's good enough to be on our show. So that's the other thing. You're being told by one of the top guys at WWE, you're not at our level. And so he's like doubling down now. He wants to make himself.
Wait. When was that said?
Was that not said a few years ago?
I remembered seeing that as well.
But did anyone see Triple H?
I'm looking it up right now. Continue.
I apologize if I'm, you know.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's indebted to Tony Khan, and he cannot fight at that level. What are you going to do? You're going to brown nose. You're going to say whatever you can to increase your stock. And Tony Khan is Middle Eastern Donald Trump. He absorbs and loves eating compliments. So it would make sense that Ospreay would do something in a very Tony Khan manner, which is to run your mouth on social media. It makes perfect sense because I'm watching the matches he's doing now, and it's scrap, hidden blade, scrap, hidden dagger, scrap. He's not doing high flying moves. He did when he first came back off neck injury. And he was grabbing his neck. And I asked you guys, is that a work? Is he really that in that much pain? Because he tried to do like a 540 or some shit off the rope his first time back. And it was on Collision. You were like, wow, this is incredible. Now he's not doing it. So I'm thinking to myself, this guy can't do those moves anymore. He can't bend like that.
It's not that he can't. Realistically... For this storyline with the Death Riders and the bit of Stockholm Syndrome that's happened, for that storyline to actually have legs, you have to see Ospreay change his moveset a bit. I could see him doing the high flying stuff on pay-per-views, but I would not be surprised to see him implement more of a ground-based, submission-based offense and do dives as needed on the weekly shows, which, let's be real, I think all three of us can admit that is a smarter move for him for the longevity of his career anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody's been talking to him about doing that for quite some time. Even Paul Heyman, when Ospreay was still working UK indies, before AEW was even a thing, Heyman actually presented Ospreay with a WWE contract way back in the day before the TKO purchase, before any of this, a WWE contract. And they hyped it up and the whole deal. But the fact is, even with that, Heyman went and talked about it a bit and said that he also had a conversation with Ospreay. Hey, man, you need to change your in-ring style. I think the in-ring style that we're seeing now, even before the neck injury, is a little bit, I don't want to say dialed down, but that's the best way to describe it, from what Ospreay was doing in New Japan, not just in 2016, but even up until and during the early stages of the pandemic. Ospreay was an absolute demon in there, doing all sorts of high-flying stuff, putting his body at risk, and things just kind of added up over time. So obviously we're seeing that stuff kind of being put into a storyline now, so it all makes sense. I love the Death Riders Ospreay storyline and what they're doing with it, as long as it continues down the path that it looks like it's going to go.
What are you thinking? Because I like when he's having the conversation with Omega last week, and Moxley's right behind him. This is my favorite John Moxley.
Did you notice acting-wise. The cinematography of that, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Where Moxley was almost the devil on his shoulder because of the way that it was shot. How Moxley entered from off the screen and only stayed over in this portion of the shot. So it really was like as if Omega was the angel on one shoulder, Moxley is the devil on the other. It's the little subtleties like that that they're starting to get right and that they're starting to execute on a regular basis, which is great.
This is my favorite storytelling in wrestling right now, is this particular story. We'll get to WWE with the, I don't know if they're still calling it the Bloodline. There's some interesting things going on there. Mm-hmm. I'm not averse to it. I'm liking that it's not all fucking, you know, Shangri-La over there or whatever term you want to use it. They're not all in alignment. Fuck you, Jimmy. Fuck you, Jay.
Oh my God. Right. We'll get to it.
Yes.
Which you're just talking about it now. So I guess the term "we'll get to it" means something else in your vernacular, but that's cool. We understand it. Let's get to this. You said we'll get to it.
Okay.
Let's get to this.
Oh, God.
Potentially wrestling for AEW. I think I have one more class good match in me. Okay, Rob. Now this is right up your alley because I'm sure you want to see Mick Foley do one more good match. Not one more match, one more good match.
I want see, we have to follow this in kind. I want Jim Ross to commentate the entire match start to finish. He's going to be something big one day.
You know, it actually, can we just go there and just, can we just have Edge versus Mick Foley in a no holds barred match 20 years later from WrestleMania 22?
Oh, by God. That Adam Copeland, some say he's got an edge to him.
Oh, no, he's... Ross is so far gone, he'd be just calling him Edge throughout the whole match.
It wouldn't be Adam. It wouldn't be Cope. It wouldn't be Copeland. It would be Edge. It would be Mankind Edge and Mankind.
Yeah.
He would end up calling him, Edge and Mankind. And
you might as well put a crown on.
It would literally be a death match because one of the guys would die.
And hold on now. Is that Dolph Ziggler I see in the back?
He doesn't know who Dolph Ziggler is. He never knew who Dolph Ziggler was. But throw a crown on Excalibur and just call him King the whole match.
They'd say I'm supposed to say puppies.
But he says it in Spanish.
Pupitas!
All right. Here's another thing from this week that I think was wonderfully ridiculous. AEW exceeds 5 million viewers per week on Dynamite, as reported by Dave Meltzer. Okay. All right. Listen.
Are we talking internet now? What are we talking about now with the streams?
We're talking streams.
Okay.
And we're talking Uncle Dave said that someone from Warner Brothers actually gave him the numbers, which
great.
You know, listen, if it was like, because they do not publish these numbers, okay?
Right.
That's
the worst part. That is the absolute worst part. I wish that there would be some sort of a published, like, a listing somewhere. Even if they do it at, like, the quarterly meetings that WBD has for their stockholders. Mention that shit. somewhere, right, make that public knowledge.
And on top of that, streams, for a count of a stream, when it goes to Nielsen, okay, if you're talking Nielsen, it's something like 30 seconds of a stream counts, yeah, as a watch of a stream.
Yep.
So 5 million streams could be very, very possible when you click on it for a couple seconds. And I can see Dave sitting in his house clicking, watching for 30 seconds over and over and over.
How did I know that you would say that?
He's going to watch, but he's going to assume that everyone's, clocking in for an hour.
He cocks it in for an hour when he's,
I spray all day.
Get that check.
I spray.
Wait, did you say I spray on Dave all day? All day. I love how this guy is quote unquote a journalist, but everything that he quote unquote is journalistic on has no actual backing behind it. It's just, I was told by, and this goes all the way back years and years and years. The guy has literally made his money on the fact that he quote unquote has sources in which we know that people have in the past lied to him blatantly. He's made up shit in the past. And, again, we're not too sure that he isn't on a little bit of a Tony, pinch of payroll, that we've been saying this for 6 years, but to come out and claim that and then let that ball roll, to me, if the numbers are true or false, if it comes out from the actual source, cool. But for you to put this out there to get hits on your show, right? On your website, get listens on your show. That's all he's doing this for. And he's also doing what people in mainstream media do now, what the presidents and politicians, entertainers who want to get publicity do. And that is, you create something so that people get upset about it, whether it's pro or against, and you create a divide instead of, being celebratory. You're trying to present this as, this means that this is better than their stuff, or this is better than their stuff, or that is better than this.
Here's a question I have about that. And you'll probably, I think you'll have a snap answer for this. Do you believe he is that jaded against the WWE? Does he feel that they owe him something, the WWE, and that he's not, getting the reciprocation he deserves?
Ooh, yeah. Was that snap enough for you?
Yeah. but that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah, of course. Well, I don't even know if it's necessarily all that as much as what I said. And I think whatever makes the guy more money, more traffic go through his website, more, more subscriptions, et cetera, that's the guy's game. It has to be. And also, by the way, playing to a fan base that is, the AEW is by far a wrestling fan base, right? It's a wrestling internet fan base too. So by playing to that fan base, you get more traffic, more movement. You can't really play to a WWE fan base. You can't really question WWE or get information from WWE that's credible without now having to really potentially face lawsuit consequences, because they are no longer Vince's company. They're a corporation that will go after him if there's defamation. So
Well, so the way you're framing it is, in many ways, it's advantageous for him to do this on two fronts, not just to kiss ass, but he's in the ground floor of a new company that's sizable enough that he wants to attach his name to it. And it's safer for him to sing the praises of AEW than it would be to talk about WWE in any capacity, because that's really discussing TKO, not WWE.
Well, right. And realistically, all that I was going to say is, and this is actually a really good kind of a back and forth that we're having on this. The fact is, I don't think that anybody wants to just sit and listen to Dave talk negatively about WWE at all times. So in that respect, I am happy that AEW is around so that he can speak positively about a promotion, because clearly he has things against WWE. And quite frankly, I mean, you can infer a lot just from the tone of voice that he tends to use when he does describe WWE. And I can completely say that. They most definitely did hold back, but the thing that I was going to say too is, even with like social media platforms, it's not about necessarily what content that you put out, what you say, but how boisterous you can be, and
get the interaction,
any kind of interactions, likes, comments, all that kind of stuff. By the way, thank you for liking, thank you for commenting, thank you for following us. But realistically, all of that stuff bumps you up in the algorithm. So guess what? Those posts, those messages, whatever, you know, verbiage it is, those things are going to be pushed out to more people, because that platform knows that this person is posting X, thus they're going to generate Y in terms of posts, interactions, comments, and it is a driver of traffic to that platform. So it's advantageous for these platforms to incentivize the most redonkulous shit that people are going to say. It's just how it is. So,
you know, when I stop on
changes, until that stuff changes, we're not going to see anything change from Dave or any of these other journalists.
Well, When I start my new company, my first new wrestler is Olga Rhythm. Oh, that's pink.
Algorithm, that's awesome. You didn't give me the hits I need. You're fired.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob. You can finish it off.
I just said you're fired. That's it. What's left?
You had a thought, then you stopped for the horrible events that we do, and then I guess you're not done. All right. Well, at least we can all agree that the Rebel Heart shirt and bracelet is available. Support Rebel. And this was a great little photo of Britt and Rebel and Mick Foley with the bracelets and everything. And just crazy that that's what we're seeing. And
the bracelets are only $10. The shirts are $32, and all of the profits go to ALS Research. They're actually being divided between two categories and two charities, I should say. So definitely, if you got a couple of extra bucks in your pocket and you want to make a difference, it's only $10 for a bracelet, and it goes a long way.
Yeah. All right. SmackDown. Some stuff that happened. We finished with Dominik getting the advancement in the King of the Ring tournament to go against Obafemi. Do we think that Dom should win the tournament?
I don't know if he should, but especially with what we saw on Raw, it wouldn't surprise me if we don't end up with Dom as the King of the Ring and Liv as the Queen of the Ring.
Okay.
Brock Lesnar comes in there and would not surprise me. Obafemi, because you got to push that story along. Because otherwise, Obafemi would run right through Dominic Mysterio any day of the week.
Yeah. I just think that from a character standpoint, what you can do with him as the king just makes that so much
better. I am El Rey de los Luchadores, and now you're okay. Exactly.
And then on the queen side, Raquel. So are we going, if you're thinking Liv's going to win, are we getting Raquel versus Liv?
Yes. And realistically, that needs to happen because, I mean, they've teased some sort of a split between, you know, Roxanne and Liv for quite some time, with Raquel being, you know, kind of in the middle. I think that this could actually cause things to kind of bubble over. And I think that we do end up seeing... I don't know how much longer you're going to keep Raquel and Roxanne in that heel faction. People want to cheer them. People absolutely want to cheer them. So I could see there being some movement within the Judgment Day and those two making their way and leaving or getting beaten down and taken out, whatever you want to say.
I could picture a Judgment Day come SummerSlam where you might not even have JD McDonagh, where it's just Liv and Dominic and everything else finally. The Judgment Day really doesn't need to be there anymore. You just need those two.
Yeah, yeah. Could we just get a little bit more? Can you tell us a little bit more about how Raquel is going to get into the split of Roxanne there? Tell us a little bit more about how it's going to bubble over. Tell us about that split right there bubbling over.
Yeah. You know what? I think the president might have something to say about that later on.
Okay. All right. And then Carmelo Hayes and Ricky Starks, Ricky Saints, Ricky SmackDown.
Don't dead name him.
Ricky Little Rock.
Little Rock.
Those two put on a fucking match.
Rocky Smallvia.
Rocky Smallvia. The Boulder. Ricky the Boulder Starks.
Ricky Pebbles.
Ricky Pebbles. that was definitely an opportunity to see what those two are going to do against each other in the future, because talk about a beautiful matchup. That was wonderful. Okay, on Raw, speaking of the Pebble, he was in the match that ended up with Javon Evans winning. So
they did the right thing.
Yeah.
They did the right thing. Good.
Yeah.
Good on.
And again, we're building up, it looks like, Seth and Roman. So that's moving forward, which is, where it should be. On the women's end, you already said, we've kind of got a little Liv there going on. Looks like maybe that's where they're headed.
Liv two belts. Liv two belts.
Really? Really? Would you give her two belts? I know.
I mean, she still hasn't defended the one belt she has in 50 days of holding it.
Well, I'm just saying. And also, I think kind of a smart move to kind of save her. When you have the prone to injuries thing going on with some of these guys, and you have a couple championships and stuff, do you really need to be constantly defending belts?
I've always been a proponent of the old school WWF mentality of one defense per 30 days. That's always been ingrained into my head. I call it out when it's not done in AEW either. Right, I don't like it when you know, on those occasions when they don't have people defend those titles. But I think there should be a championship match or a championship defended just once a month. That's it. Like,
right. But at the same time, if you want to go old school WWE, it wasn't defended once a month. That was just a kayfabe.
That was the kayfabe. But again, that was the old Jack Tunney reasoning, you know, for why they would strip people.
I will get into it 25 minutes. I'll just say, as I've always said, this is what people have grown to expect because we were conditioned to expect these kinds of quality champions. Now the champions are more form over substance.
Quality champions? D'Lo Brown, Val Venus, Billy Gunn?
They were quality mid-card champions, though, in the Attitude Era. All three of those guys were quality mid-card champions. D'Lo was a great European champion, man. He was a great European champion. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but, dude.
I'm just laughing at the idea there was a great European champion.
Dude, I get it.
It is funny.
I get it, but what the work that he did was top freaking notch, man.
He was great
at that time.
I like those mid-card champions. I remembered those mid-card champions. They all had great opponents. They showed up, they wrestled, they defended belts.
Take the belts away from them, and they were the same characters mid-card, no matter where.
Of course.
That's
the thing with the mid-carders back then was they were memorable characters. They were really good. And some of them you could do today, and it would be memorable. Yes. You couldn't do it all. You couldn't have the whole train today.
No.
He came back and he said they were escorts. And
well, I was depending on which promotion.
Yeah, TNA would have done it. TNA would do it. AEW might, maybe not, but TNA would do it. MLW would do it. Actually, MLW would be like, we're going to peel off these hoes' skin. And then they really did.
So that'd be GCW, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be GCW. They'd send him through panes of glass.
All right. Speaking of mid-carders. Now this is what you should be talking about in terms of mid-card belts being defended. I don't care if the main championships get defended. I grew up in the Hogan era. Hogan never fucking defended the belt, but once in a blue moon when he was on the Saturday night's main event, or you just happen to see him on Superstars every once in a goddamn millennium. Okay. But this match was fucking phenomenal, right? Yeah. And fucking Penta tore it down. So, you know, that's where you go. That's where it should be in terms of, I think, the quality of the IC belt. Sure. Great. Build that back up.
He's elevated that IC belt and he's doing right by it. Right. If you would have had him in Attitude Era as an IC champion, he would have hung with the likes of a Kurt Angle Jeffrey back then. I was going to say a Kurt Angle or Jericho and a name that not Jeffrey Epstein, but Benoit was the best IC champion. One of the best guys back then. And Benoit would have Canadian crippled not only his family, but he would have Canadian crippled Epstein. And then laid a Bible by him.
Well, hey, if he hey, hung
you,
him
with you the, opened that door, hey, I closed it.
Hey, if he hung him with a belt, if he hung him with a belt, it would be the Bible belt. Okay, so here we are.
Oh, Jesus Christ, and you took my well-crafted joke and you turned it into a fucking dad joke.
And made it even funnier.
All right, now you're an accessory.
That's the best thing I've been called today.
Oh my god. Okay. So this is going to happen. This is a great setup, man. You have Evil coming in and he definitely has come to the top of NXT right away. which is great, as he should be. And then you have steroided Sami Zayn, or Tony D'Angelo, whatever you want to call him.
Who is that on the right? I don't know. I thought that was...
That's Tony D.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Tony D, who now looks like he's Sami Zayn and Samoan rolled into one.
I thought that was Seth Rollins with, like, a bad perm.
I was actually going to say friggin' Seth Rollins and Juice Robinson had a love child.
Yeah. The only thing that kept me from thinking it was Seth Rollins was the gear.
Yeah. The thing that is extremely funny to me is how evil Naraku has told Tony D that, you know, he's not going to allow any interference or shenanigans or any bullshit because he wants that title. That's got to be a fucking rib. That shit has got to be a rib, especially if you know, you know. When Evil was in New Japan Pro Wrestling and heading up the House of Torture, House of Torture matches were known for one thing and one thing only, and that was interference and chicanery. Every single match, there would be interference. There would be the dastardly heel bullshit. So for him, of all people, to say that he's going to make sure that nobody interferes in any of the matches and that nothing happens out of the ordinary makes me fucking laugh every time that I read it or that I see it.
Well, are we not, though, because he has mentioned Evil?
Yeah.
And
by the way, I love this picture that makes Evil look like a little young boy in this picture.
Well, he presented him the belt and then he bowed to him. He was essentially, because that's what he's kind of doing, is he's kind of, you know, saying I'm making sure there's no interference, and I'm basically nurturing you and just watching out, and I'm there for you, and you know, everything but holding his bags, right?
Yeah.
Does this not reek of we are going to see him start a stable? Are we not going to see what's his face come in and do that and basically get him the title?
I mean, so you're saying that a stable will be built around Naraku, or that Tony and Naraku are going to be in a stable?
No.
I wanted to make sure that that's not what you were saying. So, but yeah, I could easily see them doing some other things, and, you know, putting other talent alongside of Evil and you know, making a completely different faction.
I'm making it with the suit, though. If I'm a new to Naraku or Evil, I don't know what to take away from this exchange that I'm seeing, but he does not look evil. He does not look like a very menacing person.
Not at all.
Right. That's the whole
point. By design.
Yeah, exactly. The whole thing is he's coming off of as this neutral guy, as this nice guy. Like, I want to make sure. And that's what Steve is saying. And that's why I say, because I thought, didn't someone else just sign from Japan?
Hiromu Takahashi should be coming to NXT very soon.
And that's what I'm pointing at. This is what I think is exactly, you hit it head on. It's not tongue in cheek. It's actually what the fuck is going to happen.
Right.
That there is going to be interference, and it is going to be to his benefit, because it's his, you know, if it's not a full on stable, it's at least, you know, a partner in crime. So, and it would also serve Tony Wright to be a guy who loses to the Japanese version of the mafia, which would bring it full fucking circle.
Yeah.
Which was like total genius to do that on the NXT level. Okay. And Steve, congratulations, man. You're looking great.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Thank you. But props to Kevin Owens, man. Props to this guy. He looks like a million bucks. Clearly his time off from injury, he has spent it training, getting his physique looking good. That guy has never looked better. I'm so happy for him, man. Genuinely.
And then they say the thing that dooms every wrestler. Wow, he's in the base shape of his career.
Yeah.
And then he gets injured horribly.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean that could happen very soon. Let's hope he already got injured horribly enough where that doesn't happen.
Exactly. All
right. You're right. Cool.
All right, Steve, give us an over-under.
All right, so this week, AEW Dynamite is the summer blockbuster-themed event coming from Cincinnati, Ohio. And AEW has done some teases. They've dropped a Harley Cameron movie poster. They dropped a Jon Moxley movie poster. And they dropped a pretty interesting image as well of the AEW championship belt being repurposed as a popcorn bucket, as so many movies, adopt the popcorn bucket styling and, put those collectibles in the theaters. This week, I would not be surprised if the AEW production team does over 4 vignettes strictly of adopting this summer blockbuster theme. And obviously the Harley Cameron movie poster was a takeoff and a riff of the Barbie movie. Moxley, it was a riff on Mad Max, calling him Mad Mox. So obviously those two, but I think they're going to do more than those. And I want to see what they have in store. I think this week's going to be a fun week of not just great action on Dynamite, but and also Collision. But I think that they've been showing great signs of ramping up production, ramping up cinematography, actually making, putting presence behind the things that don't outwardly matter, but when added into the collective, just make the product overall better. So I see that continuing this week. I could easily see them doing, like I said, 4 movie trailer type spots or vignettes, profiling their wrestlers because of the summer blockbuster.
All right. Well, there you go. There we are. Our presidential pontification.
You don't mute me, number one. Number one, you don't mute me, okay? You got Christian Baldwelker over here. Thinks who the fuck he is because he can control the mic, and I can say whatever the fuck I want. This is the biggest bad boys of nothing.
The fucking thing mutes it automatically when the
Vegas bad boys. Quiet, Piggy.
Wow.
Very, very crooked podcasting show. They complain about, you complain about Dave Meltzer, you complain about Tony Khan, you complain about Shad Khan. These are American men who have made, where are they from, the cons? Anyways, these are American people who have made America great again with American greatness like never before seen. We have seen millions and millions and millions of people tune in to watch Jon Moxley and what was that? What are the one's name you said? What was her name again?
Harley Cameron.
Thank you. Yes, Sin City Republican.
Hey, Mr. President, I find it funny too, just really quick, that last week when we talked, you made mention of, getting the bald one back on here. And well, you see what happened this week. He starts I don't know what's going on, but.
This is what happens with these people. They're very sick people. They're very unfair. They treat me so unfairly. They cannot do a good job. So why should I go through the extra trouble of putting on my makeup and wig and putting on a suit if this is how I'm going to be treated? Quite honestly, I don't think you're worth it. So thank you. Thank you, Mr. Michaels, which is probably not even your real name. And We're going to see what happens. I think that All Elite American Freestyle Wrestling is doing a tremendous job. It's a fantastic program. They've had 5 million, they're telling me, 5 million views a week. Isn't that something? 5 million views a week. I've never seen 5 million people cheer since I went to a Knicks game. And I went to the game and said, so many people were cheering. They were screaming. They were waving their arms. I was in a soundproof room. They said the cheering was so loud that they didn't want me to hear because it would have blown out your eardrums. That's how loud the cheering was. And they had this this really dark glass on the windows of my limousine because they said the people are waving their arms so much that you're going to get nauseous from so many people that were there to see me and greet me. The people of New York were so wonderful to me. Unlike Mr. Matt Michaels Van Vliet over here, Van Vliet. See, what is this? What is this? What is this? Get him out of here. Get him out of here. You know, he's probably Dominican anyway. You're probably Cuban with your bald hair. You know, you're more Cuban than a sandwich, okay? You know, maybe we'll do it. We'll give you the Super Bowl treatment. You'll have to wear 5 layers under your jersey, okay? Is that what you would like, Mr. Michaels? Okay? All right? You should be thankful I allow you to stay in this country. Quite honestly, you should be thanking me that I let you stay in this country. You are a terrible person. You're a horrible person. You're not honest. You're very much not honest, okay? WWE, they have not done anything great since I won the belt in 83. They have not had any good programming in 10 years. 10, 15, maybe 20 years, people have said. This is a great opportunity for you to tell the truth about this very rigged elections going on tonight in California, and also the rigged elections going on for King and Queen of the Ring. They're letting that illegal immigrant Don take the whole thing, and his anchor baby giving mama Liv Morgan, they're going to give her 2 belts. She won by not having any belts on, quite honestly. And this is very, very sad what they're doing with the WWE, that they're letting that Jersey trash take the whole thing. Okay, she's Jersey Shore. You know why they call her Jersey Shore? Because Dawn found her washed up on the shoreline. You know, it's very sad. Very, very sad what they're letting happen, that they're letting these two greasy people. She's a greaser. Okay, she's part of the greaseback families, and they're letting these very two greasy people, they don't deserve to have a belt, take the whole thing. Take the whole thing. Remember, mommy came from down under. She worked down under very well. She's done some incredible things down under, and they put her on SmackDown because she knows what to do when she gets down. Think about it. I've got the very best words, the smartest person. Millions of people came. Millions and millions came into the garden to cheer for me. Remember that, Michaels. Millions and millions, and quite honestly, some said billions, came into New York City to cheer for me. No one's cheering for you because you lie like ABC, CNN, NBC, Kristen Welker, Matt Michaels. You all lie. Thank you. Goodbye. 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 Why do you have to off the president like that?
Time for a little quick social media dump. The Women's Grand Prix will be happening this July overseas. Zoe Serrano will be part of it. She's going to be doing a tour of Europe with this. So congratulations to Zoe.
Is Absolutely. That what we call it when you stop off at the connecting flight at the airport and you sign autographs? At the European tour.
Oh no, this so that is actually with RevPro. So it's one of the biggest promotions in Europe. So
very good.
Yeah. Honestly, very, very prestigious tournament. So
and I do like the name Serrano better than Starks. I'm assuming that's the real deal name.
I love the name choice for sure.
Yeah, it is her real. MLW, quote, I am now the face and the balls of MLW. That is what Shotzi
had to say
after she won the championship. Nice.
She can get it.
Dude, you gotta love it. If you look at the main champions of MLW, you got Killer Cross as the men's world champion, and now you got Shotzi as the women's world champion. MLW Fusion, has become a quick favorite of mine that we've been talking about on the
Cincinnati. I gotta get that in the rotation. Yeah. And I want to start watching TNA again full time.
Definitely recommend watching MLW Fusion. They've been live since the relaunch for just a couple of weeks now, and it's been very engaging TV. 1 hour episodes, very easy to watch. Highly, highly recommend it for sure.
So it's the Metamucil of wrestling,
dude. It's the cool thing too is they drop their episodes at 6:05 p.m. on Saturdays on YouTube. So, I'm a mark for that time slot. So, yeah, I'm all in.
That's about when I wake up on a Saturday.
Somewhat intended.
And you also have Baron Corbin and Dijak.
Yes.
The championship. They just had a no holds barred essentially match with the Good Brothers. And then over on TNA, something spectacular took place. Where the Hardys and the Hardys and the Righteous had a Wicked Garden match.
That was good.
Yeah, which Rob, if you want to see ECW type plundering, it's so funny that they a year ago said no more, and then it was just. This is like the third time they've done just a bloody ass match on regular TV on, not a pay-per-view. So
also really quick, I got to say it. Thankfully, it looks like the Righteous have found a home in TNA. Like they just fit there. It's a perfect fit. So absolutely.
Well, what I appreciate with anything from TNA AEW. You can plug in somewhere else and not lose a storyline in the process.
So good.
Yeah. this guy here.
Oh boy.
I was hoping that you were gonna grab this screenshot.
Richard Jones takes a picture with Tiffany Stratton and says, "Finally got to meet Tiffany Stratton. I've drained myself so many times to this gorgeous woman."
Oh my god. She's gonna see that at one point and she's going to be call the cops.
The internet is forever. However, Richard Jones has since deleted his X account and completely scrubbed his old tweets. Like, gone. Complete ghost on the platform.
Yeah. I've drained myself so many times.
There are just some things better left unsaid.
You know what? I want to say this. I want to jump in right now. I got to meet Trish Stratus, and I gave her a quick hug, and that was it. I went, "Hello, it's a pleasure to meet you." There. I didn't go, "You know what? When I was 31, man, oh man, I blew so many goddamn loads. Oh god. You know what? I hope I washed into my fingernails even tonight." No, I just went, "Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. Yeah, cool. I'm a big fan. Thank you."
So you were 31 when you started masturbating to her? Jeez, Rob.
That explains a lot.
I don't know. I'm just.
I mean, why you guys started weird? When you were 22, like every other healthy young American red-blooded boy.
To her, I mean, when did she start wrestling? How many years ago?
99.
Trish Strat. Not Trish Stratus. That was why. Wrong wrestler. Who was the other blonde one? We're not friends. Charlotte Flair and
Alexa Bliss.
That was the one, Alexa Bliss. Sorry, I don't know where Trish Stratus came into my mind.
Rob, we're not even talking about two women that you would mistake for one another. No offense meant to either one of them, but they don't look anything alike one another outside of blonde hair which Trish doesn't even have blonde hair anymore.
Yeah,
and, that's neither here nor there.
Now we know that Rob has definitely two girls in a bucket with those two in mind.
Shit.
Excuse me, Olympic size swimming pool.
AEW Dynamite on the TV here, and the Simpsons kids sitting around going, "When are they going to get to the advertisement?"
This is right out of your mind.
that dude, Michaels, I'm surprised that you're not down there on the floor with him. I'm sure that'd be the attitude you'd have too.
Absolutely, man.
No, he's Grandpa Simpson on the left.
Oh, okay.
No, you know, I'm telling you, back in the day, who didn't love the Spree commercials? Spree! Those were the best. Okay. The Knicks, 13-0 with Danhausen lifting the curse. That was awesome until last night. The Knicks 13-game playoff win streak comes to an end. This fucking guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But this was a great. The last time the Knicks had a lead in the NBA Finals was June 17th, 1994. Yes, the same day as this. The 1-2-3 King Kid defeated Quang. Alondra Boys, who was the champion, defeated Luna Bashan to retain the championship. Jeff Jarrett defeated Doink. Lex Luger defeated Crush. Irwin R. Scheister defeated Tatanka by DQ. Yokozuna defeated Typhoon. And Bret Hart, who was the champion, defeated Owen Hart to retain the WWF championship. Also,
that's a pretty good card, though. That's a pretty good card.
Also, that's right about the time OJ killed his wife and
Jesus Christ, of course.
It was. That was the last time.
No, he was acquitted.
If the gloves don't fit, you must acquit.
He was acquitted.
Okay. All right. Let's defend OJ Simpson there, Rob. Nice job, buddy.
Hey, the gloves, they didn't fit. Oh, yeah.
It's Mysterio and Liv Morgan.
Yep. I'm telling you, put crowns on both their heads and it's accurate.
And finally, a shout out to shout out to Simon Street, who at our live shows at Boulder Station would always shout out the bartender, reminding to tip just the tip. Well, Wiener Schnitzel is now using this advertisement just the tip of the day.
That's awesome.
Their upcoming America celebration. How fun. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Robert. Yeah. Robert, where might you be playing with yourself?
So this, I do have a show and I would like you both to attend if you could. It's the 13th at goddamn, blanked out again. It's going to be on my page. It's on the 13th. It is a show called Laugh or Trash. And come see that on Vegas Trump Guy. I'll have the flyers and the videos with all of that information. Showtime, get there at 7 o'clock.
Okay. All right. We will do
Vegas Trump Guy. Also, go on to cameo.com/BLCE comedy. I am doing a Father's Day special. So cameos should be $10. If they're not, I will adjust.
So for $10, you're doing dads.
Wow. And or moms, whatever you need.
Everybody's got a price, I guess.
Steve.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. This image kills me every time I see it.
Is this the Dancing Bear website?
Jesus. Why do I even know what that is? Jesus. Anyway. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, legitimately, thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you guys. Very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do.
It's not
Storm, Rob, I love the likeness in the image, man. It's great. here it is. You see Rob and President Trump in the same image. There it is. Finally. There it goes. Only on the Vegas Bad Boys podcast.
That is such an old picture. Both of them are old pictures.
Last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com, use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%. And also, lastly, here on the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast Network, on Thursday. We will be coming to you with the Sin City Indie Report, so keep your eyes open for that as we'll talk about the best in independent professional wrestling. So right on the Sin City Indie Report on Thursday.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry, dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule and they make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.